Kids are dismissed for junior church. All right, if you'll take your Bibles, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to read the first two verses. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we ask that you would bless our time. Again, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be gathered together this morning. I thank you, Father, for the songs we've sung. I thank you, Father, for the meaning behind the songs and the lives that, Lord, were used to even write these songs that we sing. And thank you, Father, for touching our lives as well. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I ask that you would guide us and direct us. Father, we don't want to walk away not having heard from you. So, Father, we ask that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive. As always, I pray for the kids, just as in Sunday school, that in the junior church hour, Father, that you would help them to understand the Bible lesson being taught. Lord, help them have fun with the crafts, the games, whatever they may be doing. Father, we just ask that the Word of God would take root in our hearts to bring forth much fruit in our lives, the fruit of joy, the peace, the love, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance. Father, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we want our faith to be stretched, though we don't like going through the phase of being stretched, but yet, Lord, we do want great faith. And Father, we do want it to be said of each of us that we do have great faith, just thinking about Scripture and how Jesus would marvel at the faith of so many. And Father, we want our faith to continue to grow because we know who we believe in, and Father, we know who holds tomorrow, and we know, Father, who carries us, and that is you. You carry us often in our life, and you help us, Lord, through difficult moments and times in our life. But Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, remind us of the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and I pray that you would receive all honor and glory and praise, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Paul writes this letter to Timothy, again, he's always wanting to encourage somebody in their faith, not just Timothy, but you look at all the epistles that Paul would write to the churches. The church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth, the believers there at Rome, as he would write to Titus, as he would write to Timothy, always wanting to encourage them in their faith. And as he writes this letter to Timothy, I want us to notice what he says in verse 1. He writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God and our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. I want us to be reminded today, and hopefully my voice will not go out, but it just seems like ever since I was sick at the beginning of the year, my voice seems to go out a lot more than what it used to. But anyway, it's God's voice that we want to hear this morning. I know that God can speak to our hearts regardless of the preacher and what's happening with him and his voice. But I want you to think about what Paul is saying. He's reminding Timothy, he's pointing Timothy to who his hope is, and his hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, again, a lot of people put hope in a lot of different people, a lot of different things that might fail them and often fail them, but Jesus Christ never fails. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always there for us. And just as he told his disciples, you believe in God, believe in me also. Many people believe in God or in a God, but they're not trusting in Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to be reminded that we do have an everlasting hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. I want you to think about what is our basis for our hope. What is the basis that the hope that Paul is reminding Timothy of? And that is the fact that God is our Savior. Now, that's why he starts off his letter to Timothy, because he wants Timothy to have the focus on his God and on his Savior. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. We know that it's God that saves us. He's the Savior. He was the one that was manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. We have an everlasting hope because we have an everlasting God. We have a God who always has been. Can I explain what God was doing in eternity past before he created the heavens and the earth? No. But I can tell you that he is a God who loves you very much and who is involved in your life, in my life, and he has a purpose for every single person, and that purpose is to be saved, to be following him, to be trusting him, to be relying upon him as his children. So God is our Savior, and that's the basis of our hope. Our hope is based in something that does not need to be approved by the FDA, does not need to be approved by the majority. He doesn't need to be voted on whether or not he still needs to be God. He's proven that he's the creator of the world. He has proven that he has all power, and he has your best interest in mind because he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin and your sin so that we would have eternal life. So our basis is in the one who has been tried. Have you ever tried God? And you might think, well, that's kind of strange. Why would I even want to try to prove God at anything? But God said in Malachi, he said, prove me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. We serve a God who is an everlasting God, a God that we can put our hope in because that hope will never fail. And I want us to think about some things this morning in regards to our hope, because that is exactly what Paul reminds Timothy of. Your hope is in the Lord. Now, in another place, he kind of tells Timothy that God's not given us a spirit of fear. Now, if we're not careful, we can be gripped with fear, with uncertainties that are going on in our life at any given moment. We can be gripped with fear and doubt and worry. We can be gripped with anxieties, but God wants our hope to be in him who never changes. Do you know that God prescribes the same, if I can use the word medication, for every single problem that people have? You go to a doctor, you go to a physician, they'll listen to your symptoms that you tell them you're having, and based on what they've learned, they will prescribe what they think is the best medication for what you are experiencing. But Jesus Christ is the answer for every problem that we face in life. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the blessed hope. He's the encourager. He's the one that can heal you. He's the one that can take away the problems that you're facing. And there, I know there are times where he may not take those problems away, just like he did not for Paul, because he wanted Paul to really rely on him, to trust him, and to follow him faithfully until the end of his life when he saw the Lord face to face. But when you think about the blessings from our hope that never changes, the everlasting hope we have in Christ, the first thing we think about is in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. The Bible says, for we are saved by hope. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You know what? I've never seen Jesus Christ, but I am hoping I'm going to see him one day. And based on Scripture, my hope is placed upon the fact that I will see Jesus face to face. And I can't wait to see him face to face. But our salvation is based on hope in Jesus Christ and his finished work. Again, things we have faced in the last 2 years, 2020 and 2021, probably has tested your faith, probably has caused you to draw closer to God, probably has caused you to even increase your prayer time and your time in the Word of God, wanting to know what all of this means. What does the pandemic mean spiritually and biblically? You know, what does it mean? What's going on in the world? And it all points to Jesus Christ, who's coming. It all points to the fact and the truth that God's word is true, that one day the Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we're looking for, is going to come back. And he's going to set things back in order the way they need to be, and the enemies of this world will be destroyed. But listen, your hope should be based on the everlasting Jesus Christ, the one who never changes, the one who's always there for you, the one that, again, no matter what happens in your life, he's always there. He's got the answer. He's got the peace. He's got the encouragement for you. He's the one that carries you often in your life without you realizing it. There's been times in my life where I got through a situation and I kind of wondered, where was God? Why didn't God help me? And God helped me spiritually look back and forgive me, Lord, for not recognizing that you carried me through that and that you gave me the strength to even not give up when I wanted to give up, and you brought me through the storm to the other side. Because sometimes we get so focused on what we see instead of the one that we see with our spiritual eyes and with the faith that we have, and that faith is based upon our hope in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just some blessings I want us to see from the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And number one, we're saved by hope because we are hoping that Jesus Christ did pay the penalty for our sin. We're placing our hope in that finished work by faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, you look at verse 3, we know that we have a living hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, Scripture just points very clearly that Jesus Christ is to be our living hope. Again, I'll say it again, that there are things in this world that can cause us to lose hope, cause us to doubt, and cause us to fear. But if we will put our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, we'll be reminded that I have a living hope that cannot die. Though Jesus Christ hung on the cross at Calvary, and though they crucified him, beat him beyond recognition, you could not tell if it was a man hanging on the cross. The Bible tells us that. Yet when he gave up the ghost, he gave up his life willingly. Nobody took it from him. But when it was finished, he cried out, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost. And then 3 days later, he rises from the grave because he is the God who gives life. He is the God that is our living hope. He is the one that helps us every day. Listen, I'm like you. I hear all the news. I hear what everybody is saying. I hear that people are fearful. People are not trusting the Lord. But listen, you have a living hope who's never failed. You have someone who's been there from the moment that you came into this world, who drew you unto himself. And hopefully there was a moment in your life where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he came into your life and you recognized that you are now a child of God. Your life is not the same. You know, I love the song that we sang just a moment ago as just a small little choir. It just reminds us of the living hope that we have. It reminds us that we are the children of God and there's nothing to fear, and our hope is based on the one who lives forever and ever. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. we have a living hope, which is Jesus Christ. If you have received that gift of salvation, you know that you received a gift that can never be taken away from you. I don't know if you've ever had someone give you something and then they took it back. You know, sometimes kids do that. Sometimes kids will, you know, give something to a friend, but when they get mad at that friend, they go and they take it back, and they would always be called, on about up here in the north and the south, we would call them, you know, Indian givers. We'd say, you know, that's not fair. You gave me something, now you took it away. All right. Well, listen, God gives this gift that he never takes away. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. You've had gifts given to you that either broke, you got tired of them, you lost them, you don't know where they're at. But the gift that God gives is the gift of Jesus Christ that never gets lost, never loses power. He never stops encouraging us. You ever had a friend that got to a point where they stopped being your friend for one reason or another? Somebody that you could always call on and count on, but then something happened and they're no longer there. Yet Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who's always there. He's the one that's always saying, look to me. Again, I mentioned it in Sunday school, but remember when the disciples were in the boat and they thought Jesus didn't care? The storm was raging. They were trying to bail water out, and they got to the point where they were fatigued, and they were at the end of their rope, and they looked, they saw Jesus, who was in the boat with them, sleeping, and they woke him up and said, Master. They acknowledged that he was the master, but then they said, carest thou not? Don't you care what we're going through? Don't you care the storm that we're in? I could just hear it, because even though all they say is, Master, carest thou not? Humanly speaking, we could have been, Lord, don't you care the trouble I'm in? Lord, don't you care what all I've been trying to do and it's not helping? Lord, don't you care? Why would you allow me to go through this storm? And yet Jesus stands up and says, O ye of little faith. They had little faith. They were still in despair. They still didn't understand. Yet they woke up the very one that could help them, though they didn't understand, though they kind of thought Jesus didn't care. But you know what? He cared so much that he calmed the storm. Just remember, you have a living hope. Your God is not dead. Your God is not idle. Your God is not a picture of a saint. It's not a necklace. It's nothing that you can see or touch, but you know he's there because he's changed your life, and you know one day you're going to see him face to face. Don't let the storms of this life cause you to lose hope in the one that lives for eternity and the one who has given you eternal life as well. But I want you to think and look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, if you would. Again, sometimes we put our hope in things that fail. And sometimes we know it's going to fail, but we're hoping it won't fail. We're hoping it'll be different this time, but then it ends up failing because God wants us to put our faith and hope in him. The one who never changes, the one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who's always there. But this hope that we have, that is an everlasting hope, is a hope that gives us a reason to rejoice. It gives us a reason to rejoice. In Romans 5 and verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ is a hope that we can rejoice in, because we know he never fails. We know that he never gets tired of hearing us. We know that it's not, our hope in him is, should not be based on what society says, but it should be based on our relationship with him. It should be based on the truth of God's word and what God has told us. And hopefully every one of us in here have experienced that life of having true hope in Christ, having a genuine walk with the Lord every day, hearing Him speak to us through His Word, and feeling His presence in our life. You know, there's been many times, hopefully I'm sure with you as well, that you have felt the presence of God in your life. You've felt His comfort and His peace in your life. And it's a wonderful thing to experience because He is a living hope. He is an everlasting hope, and He is a hope that you and I can rejoice in. We're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. There's coming a day when we truly will rejoice. Sometimes it may be difficult right now. Sometimes you may be thinking, Pastor, there are things in my life that I just don't see where I can rejoice. Again, we have to get our eyes off of the circumstance, off of what we cannot change, and back on the One who can change it. Again, that's why we're told to look at the author and finisher of our faith. That's why we're to look at the One who conquered the world for us. And it's our faith that overcomes the world, our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Again, just going over some verses this morning to remind us that we have an everlasting hope. We have a hope that never changes, a hope that is always there for us, a hope that is coming back for us, a hope who has given us a life. Honestly, when this life is over, it will just be beginning. When you and I see our Savior face to face, it's just the beginning. But I'm glad that through this life, we can experience the hope that we have in Christ. We can experience the peace and the joy, and we can see God doing great and mighty things in our life and guiding us according to His will. But don't allow yourself to become despaired on what's going on in the country or in around the world. Like I said earlier, like I said in the Sunday school hour, pray. We can pray to the One that can restore hope. If we've lost our hope, it can be restored. A wonderful thing about the Bible, it's filled with men and women who struggled with life, who struggled with themselves, who thought much of themselves, but yet they failed. I think about Peter. Peter who failed, denied the Lord 3 times. He walked away, lost his hope. He thought it was all over. He said, the only thing left for me to do is to go back fishing. The place where Jesus found him, the place where he was called out and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But yet because Peter made that mistake that he said he wouldn't make, he lost his hope. He thought, for sure, the Lord doesn't want nothing to do with me. He thought, for sure, I'll never hear those words again. I'll never hear the voice of Christ again. So he went back and did the only thing he knew to do, and that was go fishing. And you know the account. When you read in the Bible, he caught nothing because he was called away from that. That was not his life anymore. His life was Jesus Christ, but he lost hope. And guess who came to him to restore the hope? Not his friends. His friends went fishing with him. But Jesus Christ came to restore the hope. Jesus Christ is the one that was on the shore and called out, children, have you any meat? Did you catch anything? And when they knew it was Jesus, they swam to shore. And when they got there, he already had a fire built. He already had bread and fish for them. Yet he turns his focus on Peter. It's not that he didn't love the others, but he wanted to restore the hope in Peter's life. He wanted Peter to know he was still loved, he was forgiven, and that God had things for him to do. And when the conversation was done, Peter followed him. And we get to see great things that Peter did because you know what? His hope was restored. God knows that at times in our life, we're human. There are times in our life where we may lose our hope. We may get to a point where we don't know what God's going to do. We're believing the lies of the enemy that what's the point? Nothing's going to change. Our enemy has the upper hand. And maybe at some point in your life you have stopped believing that God can, because you have not seen with your physical eyes that God did anything. Because I remember that a time in our life, and I'm not going to go into detail, but there was a time in our life where we were questioning God, why he didn't do what we were praying for. Lord, why didn't you change it? And yet God spoke very clearly and told my wife, and she told me, because I was having the same questions, Lord, why didn't you do this? And God reminded us and said, I did. And he showed us exactly what he did. And it was like, oh, wow, why didn't we see that? Because often we think God has to do it the way we're praying. And if God doesn't answer it the way that I'm exactly praying, then God didn't answer the prayer. Again, I bring up Paul often, but Paul is a wonderful example of a man of prayer, praying for God to remove that thorn in the flesh, praying for God to change the circumstance in his life. Because no doubt, you know, if God changes something, I mean, we think, Lord, if you just remove what's hindering me, I can do more things for you. I can have greater faith, Lord. I can follow you better if you remove this one thing. And then when God doesn't remove it, we think that God has failed us. Yet Jesus speaks to Paul and says, my grace is sufficient. Though I'm not going to take the thorn out of your life, yet I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you my grace so you can continue to live your life even with the thorn, because I'm going to give you strength in your weakness. Again, Peter, his hope was restored because he realized his hope is in Jesus Christ, the one who never fails, the one who's always there, the one who will not desert you when you make a mistake, when you consciously, willingly make a mistake like Peter. Jesus still will not leave you, because once a child of God, always a child of God. Once saved, always saved. And just like our Heavenly Father, he comes to us to give us an opportunity to repent, to turn back to him, and to continue following him. That's the true living hope that we have. That's the everlasting hope that we have. He never fails. He has exactly the right answer that we need in our life. I want you to look, you know what, I probably told you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, didn't I? And I didn't turn there, and I didn't read it, and that's okay. But look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Just a few more moments here. Again, just reminding us of the everlasting hope that we have, and never forget it. Don't ever think that there are things in your life that God cannot handle. Just because we can't handle it doesn't mean God can't handle it. God has all power. He has all the answers. In fact, he already has the solution to the next problem that's going to come in your life. Wait a minute, Pastor. Don't start talking about the next problem. But that's life, isn't it? We're told in Scripture, life is full of trouble. But we have someone who walks with us. We have someone who wants to use the troubles that come into our life for good. We're told that in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Keep your finger in Colossians, but go back to Romans and look at chapter 8. If I can say this, I take vitamins. You probably take vitamins. But the greatest pill to swallow every moment of our life is the Word of God. The Word of God gives us our hope. The Word of God points us back to the one who has the solution for everything that we face. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we neglect God's Word, we cannot expect God to give us the answers we're looking for. We can't expect God to give us the peace and the encouragement if we neglect the Word of God that He holds higher than His own name. In Romans chapter 8, and you look at verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Nobody likes difficulties, but we know they come. God knows they come. God knows when they're coming. And He wants us to keep our hope on Him. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to rely upon Him and pray to Him and to be reminded that we have a glorious hope in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Many people are looking for answers. They're looking in all the wrong places. They're looking in society. They're looking in science. They're looking in government. They're looking to friends. They're looking to family. Anybody that will give them an answer that they want to hear. Listen, as God's people, Jesus is our answer. He's the one we're to be looking to. As the verse says, which is Christ in you. You've got the answer in you. That's Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect the one who has sealed you with His own blood. Don't forget the one who's taken up residence in your life, because He bought you with that precious price, that blood that was shed at Calvary. Do you remember the day? You may not remember the time, the date, the hour, all that, but do you remember when your life was changed by Jesus Christ? Again, some people do, some people don't. Some people just know without a shadow of doubt, I know I'm saved. And guess what? If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are. If you have called upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, that's something that can never be taken away. You know what can be taken away? Your hope. The devil's always wanting to steal faith, steal your joy, and steal your hope. Again, it's very important that we continue to read God's Word, because we see the lives of men and women. Their hope was being taken away. They were allowing their hope to be taken away. You think about in the days when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. All hope was gone. Generation after generation being a slave. And yet God sent a man to restore their hope. A picture of Jesus Christ, Moses, was sent to lead the people out of slavery, lead them out of bondage. And God, through Moses' staff, showed great power. And He brought them out. Many of their hopes were restored. Some still doubted. Some would still get in the wilderness and complain that God wasn't providing for them because they weren't thinking about what God had already done. You and I have a past to look to. We have experiences in our past that we can look at and say, you know what? God didn't fail me there. God was there for me. God brought me through that storm. The greatest storm He brought me through was the moment that I got saved. Being a child of God now. You know, we call today Friend Day. That was the theme of today, was Friend Day. It's wonderful to have friends. Friends that you can call, friends you can stick on, friends that you know you can ask them to pray for you and you know they will. Friends to just enjoy. You know, the men gathered yesterday. We had our monthly men's fellowship yesterday. And I consider those men friends. But you and I know that there is a friend that's always there for you. He will always listen to you. And he always knows exactly what to say to help cheer us up, to help comfort us. We don't always know what to tell our friends. We try to, right? But Jesus Christ is that friend who's always there. He's been there from day number one, and he will be there all the way up to our last day on this earth and our first moment in his presence. Don't let your hope diminish. Don't let your hope be stolen by things that happen or things that you are indirectly affected by. You always have an adversary that's roaming about. He's lurking about, as we're told in 1 Peter. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows he can't steal your salvation. That's a gift from God that no man can take. God gave it, and God won't even take it away from you. But we got to be careful we don't allow our adversary to steal our joy, our peace, and our hope. Because our hope is not in whether or not our circumstance is going to change. Our hope is in the one who never changes, and that's Jesus Christ. So as you think about friends today, think about the greatest friend you have, and that's Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the solution for you. But you and I have to remember and have to make ourselves truly trust him for those answers and for those solutions.